Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Hey there, Enjoyers. Welcome to Enjoy Church Online. We are in for an incredible day together. I believe God is once again going to be speaking to each and every one of us. You know, Easter Sunday for me is one of the favorite days of the year. And the reason it's one of my favorite days, I love Friday, Easter Friday, Good Friday. But Easter Sunday, well, that's when death was defeated. I understand that death was defeated on the cross. But in the resurrection of Christ, we see the power of God at work. And I want to remind you today that same power that raised Christ from the dead, it dwells in you for your good, for the good of your family, and for the good of all those that we would take the good news of the gospel to. You know, I've been here now 21 years. This is the 21st Easter Sunday message that I've brought to Enjoy Church. And in many ways, I'm actually believing that this is the most important Easter Sunday message that I've ever brought. You know, I want to take this opportunity to remind every Enjoyer that you are an ambassador of Christ. And as an ambassador of Christ, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And I want to remind you that this is an opportunity for every time we open our mouth to be bringing the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel doesn't change. I understand seasons change. I understand situations change. But the good news of the gospel, it never changes. So I want to encourage you, every time you open your mouth, be presenting the good news of the gospel. And the good news, well, it can be summed up in one name, and that is the name of Jesus. You know as well as I do, it is the name of Jesus that is above every other name. So today, why don't we jump straight into scripture. We're going to be turning to Luke chapter 7. We're going to be reading from verse 11 together. It says, "Soon afterward, Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, with a great crowd following him. A funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate. The boy who had died was the only son of a widow, and many mourners from the village were with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. 'Don't cry,' he said. Then he walked over to the coffin and touched it, and the bearers stopped. 'Young man,' he said, 'get up.' Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk to those around him, and Jesus gave him back to his mother." And not for a minute would I entertain the thought that I would have any understanding at all of what this woman is going through. She's a woman who has lost her husband, and now she's a woman who has lost her only son, a son that in many ways I'm sure was an emotional connection to the past. He would have been an ever-present comfort in the day-to-day realities of her life. And in the future, she would be both, he would be family, he would be a provider, and he would be a protector in all the days that lie ahead. But then in an instant, it was all gone. In an instant, everything changed. This woman's changed forever in an instant, just like that. What was it, a sickness that took the little boy? What was it, a workplace accident? What was it? Did he fall off his donkey? Well, I don't know how he died, and the Bible doesn't actually tell us how he died, which is probably an indicator that that's not the most important thing in the context of this story. What's important for all of us to know is this woman was living life, and in an instant, all of her dreams, all of her realities began to change. In an instant, that which she was certain about no more. In an instant, it was as though a black cloud just came in over her life and over her house. And now she couldn't even see any future for herself, let alone the glorious future that she'd been dreaming of. But then just as death quickly came in like a cloud into her situation and over her life, you know what I love about this story? In an instant, Jesus comes in. In an instant, he seems to step out of nowhere. She was going about her business. She was in grief. She was mourning. And she's taking her son to bury him. But then out of nowhere, Jesus steps into the picture and he begins to speak a message of life and a message of hope. I love it. Instantly, Jesus begins to go to work. In Luke chapter 7, verse 13, it says, "When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion." It overflowed. Friends, can I encourage you today? This is the heart of God towards you. This is the heart of God towards your family. This is the heart of God towards humanity, all of humanity on earth at this point in time. It reminds me of the scripture in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, which says, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." Friends, be encouraged today. Can I encourage you today? For the Lord sees you from a long way off. I'm sure many of you, as you're processing and navigating our current realities, I'm sure many of you are thinking, where is the Lord in all this? Does he even know where I'm at? Does he understand what I'm going through, what our family's going through, what our workplace is going through? Does he understand? Can I encourage you today? The Lord sees it all from a long way off. Was it by chance that he just happened to walk into Nain on that particular day? I don't believe it was. Not for a minute do I believe it was. I believe it was in the perfect timing of God and the perfect planning of God, that God would step in just when he did, that Jesus would arrive just when he did. So the Lord sees you today from a long way off, and I want to encourage you, he is not without compassion towards you. He loves you. He loves your family. He is for you. God is for you. And his heart is overflowing with compassion to you, even as it was towards this widow woman. Now, I think it's interesting. He steps in with a heart of compassion, and then he says these words, just two words. He says, don't cry. Don't cry. I don't know about anybody else, but I'd imagine there'd be a lot of people thinking, are you serious? Like, of course the woman is going to cry. But Jesus' words in this moment are simply, don't cry. Think about it. The widow has lost her husband. She's grieving. How long she's been grieving for, we don't know. But she's lost her husband. Now she has lost her son. She has lost her protector. She has lost her provider. And now she's losing her hopes and her dreams. And Jesus strolls into town, comes into town. He just turns up whenever he turns up, and he says to her, don't cry. It reminds me of the story when Lazarus was buried, and his sisters had called out to Jesus 4 days before Lazarus died. The word has gone out, Jesus, come, 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 come. But how many of you know Jesus seems to take his time at times? I don't know, why can't he just fast forward it and hop into our timetable? But that's not what he does. He arrives when he arrives, and when he arrives, it's going to be the right time for us all. So Jesus says, don't cry. Don't cry. And in this moment, I can imagine there would have been people from that procession wanted to take him out the back and teach him a thing or two. I'd imagine people from that procession would have been wanting to stone Jesus at this time. I can imagine there'd be others in the crowd wondering whether he was stoned at this point in time. But what I say is this. This is what I want you to hear today. This is what I say. What you do upon hearing God's word will determine how the story ends. All right, let's just back that up. What you do upon hearing God's word will determine how the story ends. Friends, I don't need to remind you today of the word of God, but I'm going to take a few minutes just to do that, because what you do upon receiving God's word is going to determine how the story ends. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, it tells us here, your father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. I don't know about you, but I actually believe that. I believe my father knows exactly what you need, I need, we need, even before we ask it. The Lord is watching on. The Lord is searching and seeing whose hearts are fully committed to him. And he knows what you need. Friends, I want to encourage you, you are not alone in this. The Lord sees it all. Even before you ask him about your needs, he actually already knows your needs. In Psalm chapter 92, verse 13, it says here, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Planted in the house of the Lord. We talked about it over the last few weeks, being planted and being together. It's not about our physical proximity, but it's about a spiritual proximity. And we are planted in this together. If you are an enjoyer, I want to encourage you, you are planted in the house of the Lord. Therefore, if you are planted in the house of the Lord, what does it say here? Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. You will flourish. You will be fruitful. You will continue on. You will continue living. You will continue planting. You will continue harvesting. Your future is in Christ when you're planted in the house of the Lord. Your Father knows what you need even before you ask it. And now because you're planted in the house of the Lord, you're going to flourish. Let's move on. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 10. Those who have been ransomed by the Lord. All right, those who have been ransomed by the Lord. All right, we celebrated Good Friday just a few days ago. All right, think about what we celebrated. We celebrated the fact that Jesus came and laid down his life. He was the ransom. He was what has taken us from darkness into light, from death into light. He was the ransom. He was the payment, as it were, for the sin of humanity. All right, think about this now. Let's continue on. Those who have been ransomed by the Lord will return to Jerusalem Jerusalem, as believers in Christ, we understand Jerusalem, it is a type of Zion. Zion is a type of the church. We understand how that works. So now think about this in the context of who we are as believers in Christ. Right. Those who have been ransomed by the Lord, got your faith in God now, will return to Jerusalem, which is the church, singing songs of everlasting joy. Singing songs of everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear and they will be overcome with joy and gladness. I don't know about you, I can get my happy on right about now. We are going to be overcome with joy and gladness. Why? Because we've been ransomed of the Lord. I love the fact that we have a promise here. We're going to return to church. There is a day where we're going to turn to the physical buildings of church. I'm not talking about the real church. The real church is you and I, living stones being built together by the Spirit of God. We are the church. But there's going to come a day when we are going to come back into the buildings that represent Enjoy Church, that where we meet as Enjoy Church. And as we come back, you know what I'm believing? I'm believing that we are going to be singing songs of everlasting joy. Songs of everlasting joy. I believe that we together are going to be overcome with joy and gladness. Now, I know that some of you, as I speak like this, some of you are probably beginning to squirm because you're thinking, Shane, are you really unaware of what is happening outside of the church? Are you really unaware of what is happening around the nation? Friends, I want to encourage you today. I am very aware. We are all very aware. We are praying. We are working with the community. We're working with our church. I know where we are at. But you know what I know? I know that as much as this may be where we're at, the word of the Lord is going to last forever. And so if I'm going to put my trust in where we're at or the word of God, I'm going to step into the word of God every day. I'm going to encourage you to step with me into the word of God every day and return our thinking towards Christ and his kingdom. Because at the end of the day, those who build their life upon the rock of the word of God, when the storms of life are going to come against us, it is in that time that we are going to stand. So what I want to say to you is this, as I've already said it to you today, I want to remind you again, what you do upon hearing God's word will determine how the story ends. What you do upon hearing God's word is going to determine how the story ends. I'd imagine there would have been enough people in this procession, the funeral procession. When Jesus walked up and steps in, and so up until now, as I read it, he hasn't said anything. He hasn't spoken to the woman. He hasn't spoken to the crowds. He hasn't spoken to the multitudes. No, he walks in the Nain and he just observes what's going on. And as he observes what's going on, his heart is overflowing now with compassion towards this woman. He hasn't asked anybody, but he knows. He knows what you're going through. He knew what she was going through. He knows what you're going through, my friend. I want to encourage you today. You are not by yourself. You may feel like you're by yourself. You may feel abandoned. You may feel alone. But I want to encourage you today. The Lord is with you. So Jesus walks in. And so he steps in and there's a procession of people as they're going to go bury this boy. Jesus steps in and he says to them, don't cry. Now, I'd imagine there would have been enough people there to say, we don't know who this guy is. Get him out of here. But they didn't. They didn't. And not only they didn't, she didn't. No other family member seemed to step up at this moment and move Jesus on. No one from the procession, the pallbearers, no one moved Jesus on. Why was that? You know why I think that was? I think in this moment when Jesus steps up and he looks at her with a heart of compassion and says, don't cry. I got a feeling at the word of God, something in the atmosphere began to change. I just sense that at the word of God, mind shifts began to happen. At the word of God, faith began to arise and they began to look at Jesus as not just being the carpenter's son, not just being the man who came. At this point in time, they're starting to see something different. They're starting to realize this man, he speaks with authority. They're beginning to realize this man's got something upon his life. But they may have not understood exactly what was happening, but you know what? This is what I know. I got a sense, and it doesn't say it, but he says to the woman, don't cry, the widow, don't cry. And he doesn't refer to her crying after that moment. He walks up and he touches the coffin, and straight away those who were carrying it stopped. It's like, hang on a minute, what's happening here? All of a sudden the word of God is into the scenario. all of a sudden the Word of God has entered the scene and everything is about to change. Friends, I want to encourage you in this moment, welcome the Word of God. Welcome the Word of God into your situation. Lift up your Word every day. Lift up your Bible every day and allow God to speak to you. Because I promise you this, when God speaks to you, something in the supernatural is about to happen. Jesus walks up to the widow and says, "Don't cry." Instantly then he walks up, the pallbearer stop, and he says to the boy, "Get up." And straight away the boy gets up. And Jesus gives the boy back to the mother. I don't know about you. I listen to this story. I read this story. And everything within me wants to stand up and begin to praise the Lord. You know why? Because it's telling us of a greater story. We need to understand in this moment that Jesus is the Christ. He is the resurrection and he is the life. Jesus is the one and only Son of God. Jesus is everything that he said he is. Whether it be Old Testament or New Testament, he's the Alpha, he's the Omega, he's the beginning and the end, and he's everything in the middle as well. Jesus walks up and says, "Don't cry." All of a sudden, everyone's like, "What's about to happen now?" You know what's about to happen? There's a miracle about to happen. When Jesus gives this boy back to the mother, I don't know about, I can't imagine. I can't even put myself in that place. Could you imagine the grief, that sense of loss, of losing, well, a husband, then losing a child, a son? I can't imagine it. But you know what I can imagine? I can get to this other place. I can begin to imagine what it must have been like for her when all of a sudden that which was lost is coming back. That which was dead has come back to life. I can begin to imagine what the crowds would have been doing, what the crowds would have been saying. I can begin to imagine the joy and the jubilation and the bounce in her spirit and the skip in her step as all of a sudden her son has been given back to her. Friends, it reminds me of the scripture that we already read in Isaiah chapter 35, verse 10. It just comes back to my thinking. It says here, "Sorrow and mourning will disappear, and they will be overcome with joy and gladness." I've got to read it again. Why? Because I can. Let's read this again. Sorrow and mourning. For all of you that are experiencing sorrow and mourning in this season, it's going to disappear. That's the word of God. It's your word. Take it. Receive it. Your sorrow is going to disappear. Your mourning is going to disappear. And they will be overcome with joy and gladness, joy and gladness. Church, I know that we are in all sorts of scenarios and situations at the moment. I know we're all facing different circumstances at the moment. I get that and I understand it. But Jesus is still the resurrection and the life. And this is why we celebrate on Easter Sunday. Because if there was no resurrection, he could not claim that he was the resurrection and the life. But he is the first to be raised amongst the dead. He is the resurrection and he is the life. And so no matter what you're facing today, no matter what challenges you're facing today, can I encourage you, Jesus is still the resurrection and the life. I know some of you have been mourning and some of you have experienced sorrow. I know some of you have lost and lost and lost. But I want to encourage you today, Jesus from a long way off is watching and he's going to come into your situation. And he's going to begin to speak into your situation. And when he speaks, don't try and work the end out from the beginning, because you probably don't know what he's about to do. But he's about to pour out a miracle upon you. He's about to pour out his goodness upon you. He's about to pour out heaven upon you. I tell you the truth, if he can bring this son back to his mother, if he could bring Lazarus back to his sisters, then there's nothing that you have lost that Jesus cannot bring back to you. There is nothing. I want to encourage you today to remind yourself of the Word of God every day. Every day, every day. Jesus is still the resurrection and Jesus is still the life. I love this and I love this story because it just reminds me every time I read it. I got to tell you, I got to get my happy on when I read this story, because it doesn't matter what the enemy throws at us. It doesn't matter what the enemy does to us. At the end of the day, Jesus is the one who has authority over life and death. And I tell you the truth, that which you have felt like you have lost, he's going to bring it back around full circle. For many of you have experiencing different work scenarios. You know what I've loved hearing over the last few weeks? I've loved hearing how many people from Enjoy Church have got either new jobs, have got their jobs back, and have, wait for this, have actually been promoted through this season. Now, you may be out there saying, Shane, that hasn't been my experience. Not yet, it hasn't. Can I encourage you, continue to put your faith in God. Believe that he is the resurrection and the life, and he will come into your situation. I want to pray for all of Enjoy Church right now. But before we go there, maybe there's some other people that are tuned in today that if you were to be honest, you don't know where you're at with God. You don't know whether you're one with God or away from God. Can I encourage you, if you don't know, it's not good. You should know. There's one thing I know. When I gave my life to Christ in 1987, March 28, 1987, when I gave my life to Jesus on that day, I knew that I was alive in Christ and I knew that I was good with God. Friends, I want to encourage you today. The Bible says this, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages for that sin is death, but it goes on to say that the free gift of God is salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is why we celebrate Easter like we do. And the truth is, as believers, if you're a believer, you're not waiting for Easter to come around once a year to celebrate the death and the resurrection of Christ. But this is something we celebrate every day of our life. It's a continual point of focus for us because we know and we understand all that Christ has done. But friends, I want to encourage you today, if your life isn't right with God, it doesn't need to stay that way. But today, everything can change. You say, Shane, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know my past. The great thing is, that's why Jesus came, that he might cover your past and give you a glorious hope and a glorious future in him. But the decision is yours. One thing I learned along the way is my parents couldn't make a decision for me. My wife can't make a decision for me. Your husband can't make a decision for you. Your kid, it doesn't work like that. I can't even choose for my kids. You need to choose for yourself. As for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. What a great day for Joshua and his family. Friends, I want to encourage you today to make a decision to serve the Lord. I want to encourage you today to make a decision to give your life to Christ. So right here, right now, if you're watching online, I want to encourage you, there's a raised hand right down there above the comment box. If you are on our online platform or if you're on Facebook, you can just chat with the people that are in there. I want to encourage you to make a decision for Christ. I want to encourage you today to give your life to Jesus. Many of you have been wandering and suffering loss all of your life. Friends, I want to encourage you today, there is a loving Heavenly Father that wants to come into your life. There is a Savior that has given his life that he might have life with you. Can I encourage you today, give your life to Jesus, come into relationship with him, and then have access to relationship with the Father again. I promise you this, it is the greatest life you'll ever experience, but it's only a decision that you can make all by yourself. So, let's pray together. If you want to pray with us, I'm going to pray a very simple prayer. If you're praying this prayer for the first time or second time, maybe you've gave your life to Christ but have drifted away, come home today. Hit that little raised hand right now. If you're on Facebook, just say, I'm giving my life to Christ right now. Just do it however you do it. Just make a sign there so that we know and we can see that you are doing that so we might join our faith with yours together. So let's pray together. Every enjoyer, pray together. And let's just once again reaffirm our love and our commitment to Christ. Dear Jesus, I thank you today for bringing me to this place in my life that I might give my life to you. Today, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my all. I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of my sin. Help me, Lord, to live a life that is honoring and pleasing to you. So today, Lord, I give you my life, I give you my all, and I believe from this day on, I'm your child. And you are my Father, my Lord, my Savior, and my friend. And I will never be alone again. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen. All right, now this is what I want to do now. I want to pray for everybody Everybody that has been suffering a sense of loss. Now, maybe your sense of loss began a long time ago. I know in the last month, many people are experiencing loss, but maybe for you, you're experiencing loss from a long way back. Maybe there's a sense of loss from your childhood. Maybe there's a sense of loss from your school years. Maybe there's a sense of loss from your first marriage. Maybe there's a sense of loss in regards to children. Maybe there's a sense of loss in regards to business or finances. Maybe there's a sense of loss in regard to relationships. I don't know where your loss is at, but I do believe this, that Jesus is still the resurrection and the life. And he loves you to bits. And his heart is overflowing with compassion to you right here, right now. I know because I can feel it. I can sense it. Yeah, I'm speaking about these things, and many of you are sitting there and you are dealing with the realities of your pain and your heartache and your grief. Friends, you're not alone. Jesus has just walked into your room. Jesus just walked into wherever you are today. He's there and you can sense him and I can feel him right here. So we're going to pray together. I want to pray the resurrection and the life would come into every part of your life. The same power that raised Christ from the dead, if you're a believer, it dwells in you. We want to see that power released in you today. That all those things that have died along the way, or you felt you've lost along the way, I want to see him come back to you. But you know what? As much as I may want to see it, I actually believe this is the will of God. He doesn't want you to suffer. He doesn't want you to go through this pain. He wants to bring life. He wants to bring joy. He wants you to be able to enter into his gates with praise and thanksgiving in your heart. So let's pray together. Father, I pray for every brother. I pray for every sister in Jesus' name. May the power of the Holy Spirit be at work in their life right now. Lord, I pray that they would know that you are the resurrection and you are the life. Lord, by your word, in your word, Lord God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the word, the authority that is in your word, Lord God. And Lord, we release it now to do that which it is meant to do, Lord God. We speak life in Jesus' name. Lord, we declare that you are the resurrection and the life in every situation and in every circumstance. Lord, we release the power of God to be at work in our brothers and sisters. Lord, I pray, Lord God, Lord, for my brothers and sisters who have suffered loss, whether it be from years gone by or whether it be in this last month, I pray and I ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that the power of God would be released to go to work now in Jesus' name, Lord, into every area of life. Lord, whatever is important to my brothers and sisters, I know it's important to you. So I pray, Almighty God, by the power of your Spirit, you would go to work now and they would see the goodness and the glory and the miraculous of God. Even as this woman, Lord God, received back her son, and I'm sure they went home rejoicing that day, I pray there would be rejoicing in all the homes, in all the houses, in all the lives, Lord God, that name you, Lord God, as their Lord and their Savior. I pray, Almighty God, that you would bless them on the way in and bless them on the way out. Lord, we thank you for Easter, but we understand this is not a one-day celebration of once a year, but we celebrate, Lord God, both the death and the resurrection of Christ every day of our life. It is our faith walk, Lord God. And Lord, we will walk in you, we will speak your word, and we'll declare your goodness until you come again. So Lord, we give you praise and we give you honor in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said amen together. Praise God. God bless you, enjoyers. I hope you've enjoyed today's service. I'm really believing that we are going to hear a constant stream of testimonies of that which was lost that has been resurrected in Christ. And I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to the day when our auditoriums are filled over and over again with saints and brothers and sisters lifting up our hands, worshiping God together. But until then, you know, we can go online, we can encourage each other, we can hop on Facebook, we can hop on Instagram, we can text each other, we can call each other, we can FaceTime each other, we can do it a million other ways until then. So God bless you lots. Have a great day today and we'll see you real soon. Bye for now.